up, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Golden Bearcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andy. Alongside me is my co-host, Rob. Rob, what's happening?
I just want football to come back. Give me football. I need Cal football season.
I feel the same way. It was miserable, but it was a fun type of miserable. It really was.
Like, usually my, like, fix for football can be alleviated because I'm usually at spring ball. Like, I get a month of, like, you know, going to Cal practices and, like, seeing it, like, being out in the sun. It's not the same as a game day, but it does what it needs to do. It just scratches the itch for me. We have no idea, like, what is happening for, like, spring football yet. There's like no schedule announced, no anything. Even if press is even allowed to be, you know, in the stadium, who knows? So it's like it's gonna be another like 6 months before we get football.
Like, it'll be a little while. Yeah. And this does feel like a good time to remind you that the Bearcast is brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts. Wherever you want to get your podcasts, get it at Blue Wire. But we have a bunch of Cal football news to discuss today, specifically besides our desire to have football in our life. And so, Rob, why don't you kick us off?
Well, yeah, we got a bunch of news to run through. Let's start at the top. Let's start with the easy, simple stuff. Cal announced from S&P Plus Rankings by Bill Connolly, the godfather of all college football stats, 54th. In the country.
Feels fine.
Feels like a reasonable number. I think that's the highest we've been in a preseason like S&P ranking under Wilcox, I believe.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say it felt Sonny Dykesian.
I don't think Sonny even like scratched like the top like 70.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it doesn't feel Sonny Dykesian then. I got to work on what that means. I really thought he was going to get the job at Tennessee.
That didn't happen.
No. So, yeah, I mean, 54. So, I think, you know, that's kind of in line. What? Is that like 7-8 wins?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think it's at for this season is... You know, 8 wins is my ceiling and 5 is my floor. I think I've been consistent with that. I don't know. And we'll see if it changes because as the weather gets nicer, the hype gets higher. But
I mean, like, think about it this way, right? There's Power 5. There's 5 Power 5 leagues, right? Let's say the top 3 in each Power 5 league is like in these rankings. So that's 15 schools already accounted for. And that leaves 35 schools that you need to fill in to get to 50 with, you know, group of 5, other Power 5, maybe some, you know, random outliers. And then you put us at 54. That's not saying that an entire conference can't be in the top 50, but, you know, so... It's quite a ways behind, but not like crazily behind.
I, you know, be curious because last season didn't we think we were getting? I mean, CBS said that we were going to win the Pac-12 North.
Yeah.
And then we had some legit top 25. I thought we had some consideration potentially
preseason. Like, I think we got votes. We might have gotten votes.
So, I mean, I don't think anyone over here is, like, waving the banner at 54 being like, this is our year. But, you know, S&P Plus is a great – it's probably a good place for us to be. Do you have any idea in regards to – I don't have the ESPN Plus subscription necessary to be able to read his articles, which kill me. But I'm curious how that ranks with other Pac-12 teams.
I do have it, but we will see – I'll take a look, and then we'll get back to the our listeners about how it ranks in the Pac-12. But I do I don't think it was.
So Oregon's above us. Utah's above us.
Mm-hmm.
These are all guesses, by the way. Oregon above us. Utah above us. Arizona State above us.
Washington.
I don't know about Washington. They are kind of a train wreck right now. At least that's an outsider's view. I don't know how true. I mean, how true people feel that is. Colorado maybe above us after last season.
Well, I'm trying to pull it up right now as we're talking here. Bill Connolly,
Stanford. I don't know. Stanford had four players go to the draft, and their recruiting classes have taken a hit.
Yeah.
USC will be above us.
Yep. Let's see.
It's all the top six.
Well,
Pac-12.
You want me to run you through it? You keep count, right? I'm going to read through the teams. You keep count.
All right.
Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Iowa State, Miami, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Washington, Florida, Texas A&M, Penn State, Cincinnati, Iowa, USC, Arizona State, Utah, Texas, UCLA, Louisiana, Michigan, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, LSU, Indiana, Auburn, Oklahoma State, Nebraska, Minnesota, Maryland, TCU, West Virginia, Appalachian State, Virginia Tech, Coastal Carolina, UCF, Boise State, Purdue, Arkansas, Liberty, Pittsburgh, Mississippi State, NC State, Washington State, Louisville, Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Colorado, Baylor, BYU, Memphis, California.
Wait, did you say Washington State? Did I hear you say Washington State?
Yeah.
They're ahead of us?
At 46.
Dude, also, there's some garbage teams that you just named. Liberty? Wait, was Liberty okay last year? No, who?
It was like UCF. Liberty, Coastal Carolina were like, you know, two of the teams because they played like a full season, right? Compared to a lot of the Pac-12 teams or a lot of the other leagues.
But you also said Appalachian State.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. Because these are numbers going off of last season, and their numbers were good because they played more games than us.
I should have done this. This makes me feel a lot worse. We should be upset. 54 is trash. Dude, I mean, okay, so UCLA being in there, that makes sense. They looked good last year. But, dude,
we're eighth
in the Pac-12. That's terrible.
Our offense is rated as 62, and our defense is rated at 53.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would have killed for a defensive unit to be, you know, in the 50s in the Dykes era. The big thing we would also have killed for an offense that would be in the 60s in the Wilcox era. So in a way, we're getting what we asked for. However, when it's eighth on a list of the teams in the Pac-12, it just kind of hits different than otherwise. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting teams that were kind of in between us and the last.
I mean, but you have to look at our numbers too in a way, because like SP Plus, it's like it's based on like some advanced analytics regarding like tempo and opponent adjusted, right? We played four games last year. And like our first one against UCLA, like that is not a good statistical game at all.
And Washington above USC makes zero sense.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised by that because Washington also played, what, like four games?
Yeah, they have their S&P Plus ranking. Washington offense is 14th, defense is 17th. SC offense is 13th, and defense is 28th.
Hmm.
And they also lose some guys. So. It's. Yeah. This ranking is going to get like blown out of the, like this might be the first year where this ranking is like legitimately obliterated.
Yeah.
Like 2-3 weeks into the season. Just because of the number of games and the opponents that teams played last year.
It's like we're starting fresh from it's like we're starting over at the beginning of college football.
Yep. Yeah.
None of the past information matters.
Nope. It's a brand new start. It's a brand new start.
In that case, I guess Stanford doesn't have the axe after all. Plot twist.
Wait, technically, if we go back like history, don't they have the axe? It is the Stanford axe. Didn't they bet the axe first on the game? And then that's how we...
Technically, if you're starting from scratch, I'd say no one has it yet. But yes.
That is true. Someone has to have created the axe. No one has done that yet. But yeah, we talked about numbers for quite a while. S&P Plus rankings. Should we move on to the next bit of news?
Yep.
All right, next one. Charlie Regal, we talked about this. He was listed as a potential candidate for Montana State, but Montana State has since hired Wyoming associate head coach Brent Vigen, or I don't know how to say his last name. I'm just going to assume it's Vigen. So Charlie Regal is no longer a poaching candidate.
Here's my thing.
All right.
Conspiracy theory number one. Regal, Dykes, same agent.
Is this possible to find? Is this information like lookupable?
I don't know. Maybe.
Can we look up coaching agents?
It is the internet.
It is the internet.
But damn, if I am not getting a little bit tired of hearing Regal's name at every single head coach opportunity, I understand that our staff is like trying to make moves into like higher positions, but I didn't totally expect the gig at Wyoming to be the one that they were going to jump for.
Mm-hmm.
One, not to sound super biased, but I'm going to just go for it. Like, you do have to live in Wyoming. I love Jackson Hole. I love Yellowstone. I realize there might be a life out there for some, but seriously? So that's my number one. And then, you know, it's just, is Wyoming the stepping stone towards, you know, that bigger job? Maybe it is. You know, maybe it's just you need to have the head coach title, and I'm, you know, I don't know. I mean, anyone's guess is as good as mine, but that one, I kind of put my hands up in the air, maybe hit a desk, and was like, really? Really, Regal? Again? So I don't know how much truth there is, but I think at this point we'd be pretty surprised to see Regal on staff in you know, too far into 2022. I think that would be my take of the day.
Just to circle back on like the agency thing, they do not have the same agent. Dykes's agent is Balch Sports Agent and Attorneys. And Charlie Regal is under Engage. But you know what the crazy part about Engage is? I was looking at their talent list. It's insane. Like Kirk Herbstreit, Melvin Gordon, Adrian Wojnarowski, Richard Sherman, Tony Romo, Kevin De Bruyne, Deshaun Watson, Eric Dickerson, Urban Meyer, Ray Lewis, Rachel Nichols. Like this list is insane.
They're doing their job then. They're doing their job.
This is superb. What a talent list at this agency. Oh, Justin Turner, of course, on here as well.
No comment.
No comment. all right. Well, I guess we can move on to the next part. Because the next one is like the one that's like the big news that I think we're going to...
The Regal stuff doesn't bother you at all?
So here's the thing. I had a conversation with someone about this a couple weeks ago when Regal was being like considered for the job, and I was like, honestly, I see this as a net positive, whether he takes the job or not, because that means that it's okay. Let's backtrack. If he does take the job and move on, I think it clearly shows that teams are looking at this program as an up and up with potential coaches that they can poach away. And if that's the case, if they're moving on, that was only going to benefit Wilcox, because he's going to be able to bring in younger and, you know, hungry guys, knowing and sell this program as a step to like move on to, you know, either promoting within or getting a chance somewhere else at the next level. But that's under the assumption that it's the teams that are coming to look at us and not our coaches looking for other opportunities. Like, that's a totally different thing, right? With like the DeReuter stuff that happened, with the Regal stuff, I don't think they're all in the same vein. I actually do think the Wyoming thing might have been them calling Regal. But, I mean, we don't have any inside information, so we can't tell if that's the case. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it's ultimately a net positive, just from even an optics standpoint. Because it's just, hey, we're good enough that people want to come take our coaches.
That's good.
That's the standard we're at now.
I appreciate the sunshine, Rob. Yeah. That's what we needed.
Yeah.
Next topic.
All right. So we go to, what should we move on to? Oh, the big part, the big piece of news, the biggest piece of news we could possibly talk about, which is Coach Tuiasosopo is leaving to become the offensive coordinator at Rice. We have another opening with position coaches.
Yep. I think my initial reaction to this one was just like, what the hell is going on? Why are so many of our coaches jumping? But, you know, I know that you'll have your perspective, so I'm not going to spoil it. So I think the outrage that I have with Tui leaving isn't like, I mean, what, his biggest recruit was DJ Rogers.
Probably him and Jermaine Terry.
So, I mean, we do take it. The thing is with this staff and the saving grace for it, it's like, really, if you don't come for Wilcox, as long as they don't come for Wilcox, I'm happy. That's fine. End of day, I can live with anybody else leaving. That's all I care about. So as long as Wilcox is here, I feel good about it. Do I love the fact that, I mean, as you mentioned, we're getting looked at as a place that has really good coaching talent. That's great. We do replace really well. So when we lose coaching staff talent, we replace. Mm-hmm. So far, we've shown a pattern of replacing it in great ways. So I think there's opportunity here. But it's late. It feels late for this to have happened. You know, I think by now, most of the staffs are kind of intact. It's kind of weird because of COVID. But I feel like, yeah, I feel like this happened a little bit late. And, you know, it's offensive coordinator at Rice. I kind of have the same comments as head coaches at Wyoming. Like, all right. Interesting. I don't know. But about you, Rob?
Before I give my take, I need to give to understand my take, I think you need the background information here. So Tuiasosopo is moving on to become the offense coordinator, left by Jerry Mack, who was the offense coordinator at Rice, and he is actually moving on to the Tennessee staff. And that's why they had that opening. The head coach is actually Mike Bloomgren, who coached at Stanford from 2011 to 2017 before taking the head coaching job at Rice. I believe his final two seasons at Stanford, he was the associate head coach under Shaw. So there is some link there between Tuiasosopo and Bloomgren because they probably interacted so much in Pac-12 games when he was at UCLA and now when he was at Cal. So that connection is slightly there. Coach Tuiasosopo was also the last original remaining position coach under Wilcox.
Wow.
Yeah. Non-coordinator. Because Regal was special teams coordinator the entire time, right? So it's just Regal and Tui were the only two that's left.
Wow.
Everyone else has moved on. He was originally the QB coach, passing game coordinator, and recruiting coordinator before moving over to the tight ends in 2019. And his prior stops at Washington and UCLA also included associate head coach, tight ends, and QB coach. So, yeah, we've talked about this. We know he's coached tight ends before. So, ultimately, I think for him, this is what he wants to do, which is to play call and to become an offensive coordinator. Now, looking at Mike Bloomgren and his record over the last year, this kind of feels like a one-year like audition, because I feel like if Mike Bloomgren has another losing season at Rice, like, he might be gone because he's been there for 4 years now, and if they've had consistently losing seasons, he's probably out the door. So maybe he becomes their saving grace and, you know, saves Bloomgren's job, or he just goes in there for a year, just showcases what he can do as an offensive coordinator, and someone else picks him up, you know, the following year. And I think it comes back to the Regal thing too. I think ultimately this is a positive move for the coaching staff and for Wilcox. He's going to now really be able to sell this thing of like, hey, come here, you can move on, I won't stop you, and you'll be moving on to not lateral positions, but you'll moving on to being promoted, right? Like, Rangel's being looked at head coaching positions. Tui just got hired as a new offensive coordinator. I mean, even Bo Baldwin went from offensive coordinator to a head coach again, right? And Nick Edwards moved on from wide receiver coach to offensive coordinator when he went with Bo Baldwin. That really shouldn't be on, you know, this program. But nevertheless, it still counts. The only little thing about Coach Tui is that he's a quarterback. Like, he's a former NFL quarterback. And he came in as the quarterback coach and the passing game coordinator. And for some reason, whether he underperformed or the quarterbacks, you know, weren't performing or whatever it was, got switched over to tight end.
He was effectively demoted.
Exactly.
He lost both of his additional titles.
Yeah.
And got relegated to tight ends.
Right.
And then didn't necessarily make up for it with awesome recruiting, depending on, you know, outside of Terry,
yeah.
Which I can't discount, to be fair. Yeah. And DJ Rogers was, you know,
I mean, him leaving, I don't think you can blame that on Tui. Like, he recruited right. him here, right? And I think him leaving to TCU like that, I don't think that's on Tui. But your point still stands.
I think if you look at Tui's record at Cal, it was one of general disappointment because of the background that he had as a Pac-12 quarterback, as a quarterback that played in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
you know, as someone that had deep connections on the West Coast. I think overall, you know, especially if you look at his recruiting record, McAllen Castles, yep. like, we've kind of had a revolving door at tight end a little bit. So, we never really did as much with it as we expected, right? I think the first year when we moved from the Dykes offense back to having the tight end, you know, we expected to see a lot more, and it was kind of nothing for a while. And then it got better this year. It's been slowly improving, but it hasn't been something that's been a strength. So, I mean, good for him. And now it's like, okay, who can you bring in again? Who fits? I think the big thing for the staff too is, all right, same thing as what we just did with Keith A, where, like, let's bring in someone that has the background on, you know, the ability to recruit at a really high level, but also coach at a really high level.
So, yeah, that's the thing now, right? It's like, where do we go from here? Because now we've basically replaced every single position coach. From Wilcox's first season here, every single one has been changed. Like, that's insane to me. And we're going into what, year five, technically. I believe it's year five. So I don't know how to feel about this. I think you and I can both agree that we both think Wilcox is going to make the right hire. Like, it's been clear as day that he's been making the right hires across the board for any opening. Like, you know how we all question, like, the Andrew Browning promotion? Like, we were like, wait, what? What, you just promoted in-house? Like, you didn't go for, like, another, you know, top-tier recruiting defensive line coach? Because, you know, Tui was a really good one, right? Tui Adi. But then look how that's paid off for us.
Yeah.
Paid off pretty immensely. So I know you might not have any names, but let's say you're Wilcox. What do you do? Because you have a few options here, right? Like, Charlie Rangel used to coach tight ends under Bo Baldwin, like, alongside coaching the special teams. Like, that was his job. Do you move him back to tight end and maybe look for another special teams coordinator? Do you go, like, fully fresh? Do you move someone else on to recruiting coordinator? Coaching tight ends, and then, you know, shifted around a bit. What do you think you would do?
I don't know. I'm like in the minority here. I'm okay with Rangel at special teams. I'm totally fine with him there. If you wanted to add the additional positional group, I might be a little hesitant because the early days of what we just said, like, the early days with the tight end group wasn't great. So I don't know. Maybe I'm undoing the argument that I just made in when I was slightly bashing Tui's career as a coach at Cal. but I think Rangel, I don't know. I'm fine with him as special teams. If we were to even guess about who might be out there, I think, you know, we've tended to be wrong. We've tended to just be way off, especially on offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So I think for me, maybe the question is this the right time to, like, what is the advantage? Like, what's the differentiation that you bring by, like, bringing somebody else in? And does that substantially give your team a boost? And if not, maybe can you spread around the salary to the other coaches and say, hey, we have a better shot at retaining our staff long-term if we're doing this. The flip side of that is, like, you've heard Ragel's name out there so much. You know that he's looking for that upgrade opportunity. If he has a really good season and you put him in at tight end coach and special teams coach, well, now you have to replace both. So maybe you have some hesitation to do that. Maybe you bring in somebody that's tight end and special teams that has both of them, but they just coach tight ends, and that protects you in the case that Ragel leaves, something like that. What about you?
I think you bring in a tight end coach. I think the move isn't to shift guys around. We've done that previously, right? Trying to shift things around to see if that'll work. Like, we did that with Tui. Remember when we switched Nick Edwards with Burl Toller? Like, you know, and, you know, we switched, I mean, heck, even Tim DeReuter and Peter Sermon, right? We made that swap. So we've made a bunch of these swaps, and I think the in-house swaps that we've done are the ones that haven't paid off the most. So if that's the case, I think we should definitely go either promote in-house, like if there's a grad assistant or someone else, do we have an Andrew Browning type on the offensive side? Like, is there someone that we don't know about that the coaching staff really likes to coach up and can step in and be that coach? I don't know. Just because Andrew Browning was just such a sleeper name pick too, right? If we were to go outside the box or not even outside the box, but just bring in someone new, I think a lot of Cal fans that follow recruiting, their biggest like Bay Area name would probably be Alonzo Carter, who is the recruiting coordinator and the running backs coach out at San Jose State. If memory serves me correct, he was also a back dancer for MC Hammer. Which I think is awesome. There's a video, you can look it up on Twitter or YouTube. There's footage of like the team asking him to do the, I believe it's the Too Legit to Quit dance. And he does it. he still got it. It's great. It's awesome. So maybe that's him. I do believe I heard that he has coaching experience coaching tight ends. I don't know if I should be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Trace on his Cal Rivals board. It's just a fun name, which is why I want to talk about it. He mentioned Timmy Chang, you know, the former Hawaii great quarterback who broke NCAA records right before Colt Brennan came on right behind him and broke all of his records.
Yeah.
But Timmy Chang, I think he's coaching tight ends out at Nevada. And of course you have that connection because Angus McClure was coaching at Nevada before he, you know, came out here. So maybe that's a name you call. If they hire Timmy, I'm not saying they're even interested in Timmy Chang, but man, if they somehow bring in Timmy Chang, like, I might faint. Like, he is one of my childhood heroes growing up. Like, I remember watching the Rainbow Warriors on the American Forces Network growing up on Fridays, you know, because it's a day. On Sundays.
Sundays,
because we're a day ahead. And I was like, wow, it's an Asian quarterback, and he's like that good. Like, that's awesome. Like, it was just one of those moments. And if we could talk to him, like, oh my God, I might legit faint. So, yeah, I'm going to, like, totally forego all of my media duties and, like, can I get a picture, Timmy? Like,
wow, you're going to risk it all.
You got to risk it for the biscuit, baby. And the biscuit right now for me is a photo with Timmy Chang.
Well, everyone has their breaking point, I suppose.
But what do you think? Like, is this a hire that you think is going to be wrapped up quickly, or is this something that you could kind of take your time with? Because it's not like you have spring ball like around the corner. It's not like recruiting's pretty much already been over, so you're not really into that. You don't really need them on board right away. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think, I don't know. I don't know if there's any sense of urgency with it. I just wouldn't be surprised if it went fast. I wouldn't be surprised if it took a little bit, but the coaching staff in general tends to move pretty quickly, except for offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that took a little bit.
But outside of that, definitely bringing in Hayward was super quick. And yeah, same thing. I think when we brought in Angus McClure too, we sort of felt the momentum on that. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that critical of a hire to me. But if you're looking at the position, if you're looking at that opportunity from a coaching position, you're like, wow, you're going to be able to teach up Jermaine Terry from his freshman year. That's a pretty enticing opportunity. So that's why I wouldn't be surprised if it moved fast, but I don't know if I would necessarily be shocked if it moved slow.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page here. Because of COVID and like how coaching hires have been going around, like just you and I were talking before we started recording about like Gus Malzahn like going on UCF, like that was like he was linked to the job and then he was hired.
Yeah.
So who knows? How many
people want to be employed right now?
That does help.
It's like, that's a thing. It's definitely a thing. Like, you want to have health insurance right now. You want to, I'm not like Gus Malzahn couldn't afford to get Obamacare. But
he could retire and he'd still have enough money.
Yeah. I think people generally want to be employed right now because if you don't have a lot to do, there isn't a lot to do. it's just like the world is in a weird place. So I think there's good talent out there. If we've seen anything, that Cal's become a destination, it'll be a good, it's always fun to see who we bring in. And so far, I think there's been a lot of excitement behind every hire we've made, which has been great.
Bring Timmy Chang down.
Just wait until we get to bring GA back.
Yeah, as tight end coach. Just flips to the other side of the ball. Totally different position. He's coming. Yeah. That'd be hilarious. But that's pretty much it. We don't have much else to talk about. That's another short one. But you're probably listening to this after you listen to our talk with Ben Ross. So, there's more Cal content over there. If you haven't listened to that yet, so hop on over there and listen to that.
For the A's fans.
We do have one question, if you want to go over this. Pat, who sent us the question when we were talking to Ben Ross about Chapman, also sends us two questions. First one is, who will be next tight end coach or special teams coach if restructuring assignments? I don't know. Your guess is as good as ours. And I think we've exhausted the conversation on that.
If it's restructuring, Riegel has to be the favorite. Yeah. If it's new hire, then who knows?
Yep. who knows? Absolutely.
Timmy Chang. We're going all in for Timmy Chang.
We're going all in on Timmy Chang.
If you didn't know, now it's official. The Bearcast supports the Timmy Chang hire.
We do.
That pulls weight in Alaska.
Even...
Not in the Bay.
Alaska? Does it even pull weight in Alaska?
Yeah, man.
I don't think it even has enough weight to pull an iceberg. Like, it's not, we're not pulling anything. I will say this, though. I found that there is a Korean running back.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Available. Like, he's, and he has offers. Get him as a preferred walk-on. Make my dream come true of seeing a Cal player, a skill position player, even more so, with, Korean or Asian heritage.
Oh, yeah. Why did I think you were talking about the running back from Oregon?
Habibi Likio?
Yeah, he's transferring, right?
He's already committed. I think he's going to Boise. It was like, yeah. There's a high school kid that I found.
Okay.
But the last question he asks is, can men's basketball recruit enough to get program on a winning stable trajectory? Lord have mercy. Talking about basketball.
If you want the positive take and you want the optimistic take, go listen to the podcast with Ben. That'll deliver it for you.
Yeah.
What you are going to get here is not that.
No.
Rob? No. Let's hear it.
Judging from... I won't say it like full-on negative, but judging from Fox's trajectory of recruiting players at his 9 years in Georgia, it wasn't great. That being said, the final year before he was fired, he had the number one recruiting class in the country. And that wasn't enough to save his job at Georgia. And the two players went elsewhere. The one player that was like huge in that recruiting class was Ashton Higgins, the number one point guard, who ended up going to Kentucky. So I believe it's there. But he did it so late in his coaching, you know, cycle. And it was like such mediocre basketball up until that time. It wasn't enough to save it. It's kind of like, you know, when Washington fired Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah.
It's like he had brought in so many like high tier recruits. And even that final year, he was bringing in Michael Porter, who was the number one recruit in that class. But they sucked. And that still wasn't enough to save his job for another season. So it might be that case here too. Like, I don't want to say that Fox is going to be here for another 9 years. But like, he might bring in like next, the 2022 cycle, like who knows, might be outstanding. Might be a top 5-8 team in the class. But then if he loses the same amount of games as he did this year, I don't know if a recruiting class that good is enough saving grace for him, for us to be, for him to stay on. Like, you won 8 games in 2 games. Let's say he wins like 5 games next year. Regardless, like, is a top 5 recruiting class good enough to keep on that coach who has only won, you know, 25% of his conference games?
Maybe at Cal. Maybe. Basketball is one of those weird places where you bring in a Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. And changes.
And everything changes. But I don't know. Probably not. The noise will be loud. It's loud right now, and that seat's going to be warm next year, starting the season. So I don't think you can survive a 5 conference win season next year. No chance. Yeah. I would just say that. There's going to be no tolerance for it. Especially because as we've been talking about, like, by then hopefully the world is slightly more normal. There's fans in the stadiums, and that's going to be empty, or there's not fans in the stadium, and that's going to be the ultimate signal. And the big thing too is if you look at Knowlton, like, Knowlton's not going to want to have his name tied to, and all the stuff that we've talked about with Knowlton before, he's not going to want to be tied to a coach that he didn't do his homework on, that's leading, you know, a program that has historically been good and competitive through some of the worst times in its history. So that's a really bad look for an AD, especially a new one. And when you don't have the football coach hired to your name, you know, that to me screams insecurity. If there's insecurity, there'll be a fix.
I mean, the bigger question that lies beyond is he willing to, like, since we're on talking Knowlton, like, is he going to be willing to accept the fact that he made the wrong hire? Right? Because that's ultimately what he has to do in order to fire Fox. He has to admit, he doesn't have to admit to, like, publicly to the press, but by firing him, he's admitting to his mistake in hiring him without seeing him fully run out his contract, right?
Yeah.
Which is a 5-year deal. Still baffles me we gave a 5-year deal to a head coach right after we're trying to get out of a 5-year deal with a head coach. Does not make any negotiating sense to me whatsoever.
So did we answer that?
I think so.
I think so.
I think we answered it. But yeah, we're good here. That's the end of the Golden Bear Cast. If you're listening to us, you already found us. So why do I need to tell you where to find us? But you can find us on Twitter at Golden Bear Cast. You can find us on Twitch at Golden Bear Cast. We might do some NCAA football streaming over the off season. We'll see how that goes. And then you can find all our written stuff at writeforcalifornia.com, where, of course, the great Nick Krantz is pumping out those basketball articles, even though we've been losing. Actually, we did win one, so, you know, it was a happy article this week, because we won that one. And it was a fun one to me. But you can find me at Rob11HWG on Twitter. You can find Andy at
AndyJBeastMode.
And that's a wrap. And as always, go Bears.
Go Bears.